I've been here enough times to know that I'm not going to, don't want to get in the way of the service. If the Lord takes over and I don't get to preach, that's fine. This kind of services I used to see 20, 25, 30 years ago. Now God hasn't changed, so we must have changed. He's promised to meet with us, and He already has. Thank God for the singing and the testimonies. We come to praise Him and to lift up His name. So anytime, if I'm preaching and you feel like coming to the Lord, or you feel like doing anything, you mind the Lord. We only can have good meetings when the Holy Spirit takes over and we yield ourselves to Him. I want to thank this church for coming out to the meeting we were in last week. I think the night you came, we had to turn people away. Of course, that's wonderful. When you send this crowd somewhere else, well, it don't take it long to overflow. We appreciate your coming. Appreciate your coming and your singing. And we certainly thank God for His blessings and how He's blessing this church. And I need your prayers this morning. If I'm to preach, you pray that I'll mind the Lord and lift up His name. Let's stand just for a moment for a word of prayer. Our eternal Father, we thank You for this service right where it is. We thank You, Lord, for Your presence we've already sensed this morning. We thank You, Lord, that we still have a freedom in this country, that we can gather without fear of being locked up or put in jail. Lord, thank You for the freedoms America enjoys this morning. Lord, we thank You for the freedom we have in the spirit of Thee today. We thank You, Lord, that if the Son shall make us free, we shall be free indeed. Thank You, Lord, from the freedom of the bondage of sin. Thank You, Lord, for all Your blessings. Bless Your message, we pray this morning. May it be for Your honor and Your glory. And we'll surely give You the praise for it all. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. You may be seated. I want to call our attention to two verses of Scripture this morning. The first one found in Mark 16, 15 and 16. Mark 16, 15 and 16. Go ye into all the world, Jesus says, and preach the gospel. Every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be damned. I'm keeping you moving this morning. Turn now to Acts chapter 1, verse 8. Acts chapter 1, verse 8. Acts 1, 8. But ye shall receive power after the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost parts of the earth. These two verses of Scripture and several other verses I could read in your hearing are called sometimes the Great Commission of the Lord. The Great Commission the Lord gave us as Christians, as what's involved in being a church and being a Christian. You know, with all the preaching and all we do in trying to reach the world, it seems like sometimes the world's not listening. What are we to be as Christians? What are we facing as Christians as we move into this 21st century? In light of this challenge the Lord gives us, what are we supposed to be doing as a church? I had this outline come to me in bed a couple, three nights ago. Sometimes God will give me a message and give me something else later, but I saw three or four thoughts that I want to rip through real quick this morning. I want to mind him. May not get to all of them. But first of all, we're faced as Christians in a world of opposition. I hope you'll mark that down. We're living in a world of opposition. The world don't understand us. The world don't understand us when we say if you're born once, you'll die twice. And if you're born twice, you'll die once. They don't understand that kind of language. The world don't understand when they look around the world and see all the wars that are going on and the killings and the many, many sins that are going on in the name of God. In Ireland, the Catholics are fighting the Protestants. The Muslims are fighting the Jews. And we can't understand how God's involved in all of this. Last night in the blessed city of Jerusalem, the city that Jesus sat and wept over. The city that Jesus said, if thou hadst known. Oh, as he cried and wept over the city, he knew what was coming. Last night there were 3 bombings in this same city. 3 different bombings. It was almost midnight. The young people were crowded out in the restaurants and in the places of entertainment. 3 bombs went off. I don't know, I never heard the news this morning before I left, but last night as I saw the late news, there had already been for certain 8 people killed and 108 people injured. Most of them young people. What's causing this slaughter across the world? You see, the world don't know where to look. They don't know where to go. There's too many signals being sent out. Somebody said, the Jews have a religion of the law. Islam has a religion of the sword. Christianity has a religion of the cross. I don't know about the other 2 religions and what they're going to do, but I want to tell you, this religion of the cross one day will be gloriously triumphant over everything and everybody and every man. Every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. World don't understand that. You know why they don't understand that? The Bible says, if the gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, whom the God of this world hath blinded them. The God of this world is Satan, and he has blinded the multitudes. And they don't know where to look because the gospel has been hidden from them. And we're living in a time when the world looks at the Christian and they say, you ought to be more tolerant. You know, when you give up everything else that there is, when you compromise and you give in here and you give in there and you give in this and that, the only thing that's left is tolerance. That means when you do that, you are defeated. The God of this world, Satan, is pulling the strings today. We're living in this world, our society, or the society of the world, is being led. We have spiritual wickedness in high places. We're talking about the rulers of the darkness of this world. We're talking about those principalities and powers. We wrestle not against flesh and against blood, but we're worshiping a spiritual war. And the world is in opposition. Franklin Graham, Billy Graham's son, made a statement about 10 days ago after the bombing. On September the 11th, and he talked about Islam religion. The jihad and that part of Islam religion that the fundamentalists have taken up as taking it literally. And they think they have to fight God's battle. And they say, God led us to bomb this building, all the children and all the women and all the civilians, all the innocent people killed. Do you believe God is saying them to do that? And when Franklin Graham stood and made this remark, He said that Islam and that part of religion is a religion foreign to Christianity. We don't understand that kind of religion. We don't understand that kind of a God. We don't understand the kind of a God that would send you out here and kill little babies. We just don't understand that. We believe that God forgives us. We believe that God gives us love. We believe that God is love. And we just don't do that. And he condemned Islam for what they were doing in the name of God. And did you know, I've heard every critic in the world criticize Franklin Graham. Thank God, here's one voice this morning that will stand by and say, amen, Franklin, just keep preaching it. I say, glory, glory, glory. There is a God on the throne, and one of these days we'll rise to meet Him and say goodbye to this old wicked world and go home to meet our loved ones forever and forever and forever. Woo! Praise the Lord. I tell you, folks are preaching to death. The Bible says, marvel not if the world shall hate you. Know this, that it hated me before it did you. Jesus was in the world. The world was made by Him. But the world knew Him not. Blessed are you, Jesus said, when men shall revile you, say all manner of evil against you falsely for my name's sake. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven, for so persecuted they the prophets which were sent before you. Oh, thank God. If the world, in the world, He said, you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. I thank God this morning that I belong to the overcomer. And what is He? And who is He that overcometh? But he that believeth that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And what is the victory that overcometh? Even our faith. Thank God, I'm just going to trust Jesus. Whatever happens, I intend to rise out of here one of these days and go home to be with Him forever and forever. God hath chosen the foolish things of this world to confound the wise. They don't understand it. God forbid, Paul said, that I should glory save in the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ, by whom I'm crucified unto the world, and the world is crucified unto me. He said, as far as I'm concerned, the world is dead. As far as the world's concerned, I don't amount to anything. But he said, thank God, I'll go through it all trusting Christ. And one of these days, I'll rise to meet Him. And when I say goodbye to this world, I'll say good morning over there in the other city. And he said, the time of my departure is at hand. I've finished the course. I've fought my good fight. I've kept the faith. Henceforth, there's laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, not unto me only, but unto all them also that love His appearing. I say glory to God. Victory's ahead. We can have victory today. We can live in a world where the enemy's all about us, but we can live in victory just the same. The world of opposition. The witness of omnipotence or unlimited power. Notice he said, you're to be witnesses unto me. The power is not in us. It's in Him. It's not in the power of our words. The witness is from Him. Greater is He. Oh, catch this one. Greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world. Let the God of this world do what he will. Let him put up every barrier he can find. Let him try to discourage us and take us down. Let us fight him on every battlefield. But I have news for Satan today. Thank God we're going to win the victory, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. I say glory to his name. Notice he said, he that believeth on me, the works that I do, he shall do also, because I go to the Father. What's Jesus saying? Is there greater works can be done than what he did while he was here on earth? I believe there is. Thank God the gospel has the power to do things that Jesus didn't do when he was here bodily. He could raise the physical dead, but thank God today he can raise the spiritual dead. Praise His holy name. I'm glad He's still on the throne. He still has all power. And if we put our trust in Him, He said, tarry at Jerusalem. That place where the bombings went on last night, He said, tarry there until you be endued with what? With power from on high. I'm glad the power's in Him. The power comes from Him. I said to you young preachers this morning, don't worry about your little cute phraseologies or your little powerful sentences, but just get a hold of the power and ask God to give you. That's what's needed for a service, and thank God you'll get along just fine. But ye shall receive power after the Holy Ghost is come upon you. Psalms 126 says, he that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. The command that Jesus gives is to go. To go. To go. And witness his omnipotence. You know, a lot of folks today think you can put a sign out in front of the church. Say, come on, you lucky sinners, and get saved. The preacher announces the next service from the pulpit, and he thinks he's done all the advertising that needs to be done in a community. It don't work like that anymore, folks. You can put your sign out front and say, everyone welcome. You sinners, come on now. We got it all fixed for you. We got a good church building. We got a good air conditioned building. We got a good soft pews. We've got everything. We have the best sound system in the whole county. Just come now. We have everything waiting on you. I want to tell you this morning, your sound systems and your singing groups and your this and your that, you can entertain people and get everything that might look good, but I want to tell you, you'll never get them in that way. If you get them in through worldly things, the devil will get them out, because he is the god of this world. I want to tell you, I believe the world is still hungry for the old-fashioned gospel that'll touch one's life and change a soul and make you a brand new creature. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away, and behold, all things are made new. He'll put a desire in you to go to church. He'll put a desire in you to pray. He'll put a desire in you to read His book. And the closer we get to Him, the more of Him we want. I believe that with all of my heart. I ought to be a better Christian today than I was yesterday, and so should you. I want to tell you, thank God, the challenge is here, and we're living in a real world, and I believe we can have Jesus in our lives that will guide us through every disappointment in danger. Nowhere in the Word of God will you find the commandment that God gives for sinners to come to church. Can't be found. So why do we expect God to do something that's not in His book? But He did say, you are to go out after. Go preach the gospel to every creature. Not just in the church, but everywhere you get a chance. Oh, no, God doesn't command a sinner to come to church, but He does command us to go out to Him and to go out for Him. We just got on the internet a few months ago, and Calvary's on it, Brian's on it, Barry's on it. I don't know if I am or not. I'll be the first one to tell you. You know, when I left secular work to become a full-time preacher in 1971, you know what my job was? I was considered the computer expert. I was writing programs for a computer. And today I'm as illiterate as you can be on computer. Back then they thought a computer had to be the size of this room just to get out a few little things. Now they can make me hold your hand, and you just can't fathom what all you can do. But I'm said that to say this. If we use the tools in this world for the gospel and getting out the gospel, I believe that God will bless it. Calvin Ray, when he gets a good response back, he'll sometimes send me a copy of the email. Got an email just 2 or 3 days ago. Sent me a man from Florida, sent an email and said, saw this sermon on your website, and he preached the sermon. One of us had written, I don't remember now which one it was, But he said, I took that sermon and I re-preached it Sunday. And he said there were two people saved and two others renewed. I say glory to God. I had to call him. I know this man. He's a good friend of mine. And I had to call him last night and talk about what the Lord had done. He was still rejoicing in the Lord. And he said, Brother Evans, did you know where they're from? They're from Indiana. So a preacher preached here in Ohio, and a preacher echoed it in Florida, and a couple from Indiana got saved by it. What are you saying, preacher? I'm saying go with the gospel. That's the reason we're on radio. That's the reason we're on television. That's the reason we're on the internet. I believe we are to go and shed this good news to everyone that will heed it. You say, preacher, it's hard to witness. Of course it's hard to witness. It's never easy to witness. Some can do it easier than others. I heard about a preacher, told another preacher. He said, God just hasn't called me to witness. He said, I'm an expository preacher. I preach the deep things of God. God called every one of us to preach. You are a preacher of Jesus Christ if you know Him. These testimonies today were just as important to tell others. That's what we call a witness. And thank God to tell others what God has done for them. And did you know the Apostle Paul was called once to preach the biggest sermon he ever preached, to stand in front of the leadership of Rome to preach his gospel, defend his case for Christianity. And he stood before that mighty king, and the only preaching he did was just to recount his own testimony. Thank God, he just told the king what God had done for him. That's the only testimony you need. If God did anything for you, you need to tell others about it. Old Jerry Bruce used to say, if you really get it, if it's a real thing, it'll be like putting butter on a hot biscuit. It'll run out somewhere. And it ought to run out somewhere. It's never been easy to witness. I don't think I've ever told this in church. Somehow I feel impressed to mention it here for a moment. I worked at a cement plant. It's a rough place to work. We had a strike. I've never been in a strike before. I was an hourly worker. When strike came, that meant we were out of funds, period. Didn't have those big union funds and all that could keep you going. I had a big family. I had to figure out some way to make a living. I didn't know if it was going to be on strike for a month or for a year or 10 years. I just didn't know. I couldn't sit around and wait. I had a family to feed. I had an unusual uncle. He's dead now. He's one of the most admired men in my life. Even before he got saved, you couldn't put a finger on his life. He was a good man. But finally, God got a hold of him and made him a better man. But my Uncle Virgil, we got together. He's an electrician. Man, he could just do anything. So we got to talk to each other. We got to have an income. What can we do? He said, I'll tell you what we'll do. We begin to hash it over. He said, I can make a real good doorbell for so much money. And I know there'd be a market for this because nobody in the country has doorbells. Okay, we'll fix it. So we built a model to carry with us. And we thought, man, we're going to go into business. When the strike's over, we probably won't go back over there. So we started selling door to door. You ever do any selling door to door? That's what we're supposed to do with this gospel. The church that grows is the church that's reaching out every way, everywhere it can. Boy, it's not easy to go door to door. Go up and knock on the door. Stand there for what seems like 10 minutes. Knock again. Nobody comes. So after you've tried it about the third time, somebody will come, peep the door open. Hi, sir. Hi, ma'am. I'm selling doorbells. Slam! We don't need it. I know you do. I just knocked here for 30 minutes. I couldn't tell you how happy and how much joy it brought me when the news came. We're going back to work. The strike's over. We had sold altogether one doorbell. And it finally got down. Boy, I remember Virgil, we just couldn't do anything. So we sent Doris and Kathy his way. We'd sit in the car and pray for them while they sold the doorbell. Did you know every Christian ought to know enough about this book to be able to sit down with an unsaved person and lead them to the Lord? If you're a new Christian, you're not too young to know how to lead somebody else to Jesus Christ. And we ought to instill that in our people. I know we're living in a day when it's hard to reach people. I know we're living in a time when people will not respond. I know how tough it is. You say, Calvin, I've gone to this door, or I've been witnessing for this man, or I've been witnessing to this lady. I've been trying to win them to the Lord for 10 years, and they still haven't made a budge. I know it. Keep trying. Lord willing, I'm going to go see a man this afternoon that I've been trying to win to the Lord for 46 years. I go see him a couple times a month. Month in, month out, year in and year out. He supports our ministry. Never has been saved. He's a good man, but he don't know the Lord. His wife was one of the most unusual, a model Christian. She suffered for years with a sickness. Through it all, she was a mighty witness for the Lord. Still, that man is unsaved. If he dies today, he'll die without God. Just keep trying. Just keep trying. One of these days when you least expect it. You'll hear the news. He may just give you a call and say, would you come and pray with me? I don't know what's wrong with me. I just feel like I need prayer. It'll happen. Has for me many times. We need. If a church is going to stay on fire, the only thing that will keep a church on fire is sinners coming to the Lord. We ought to be so busy trying to reach the lost, we don't have time to fight and scrap with each other. We're too concerned about winning souls to Jesus Christ. You show me a church that lifts up Jesus and has the people that's concerned about getting the world to Jesus, I'll show you a church that's prospering for the glory of God. Oh man, I got to quit. I can't get through this. I'll mention just one third thing. Musicians, come. I'm going to close on this. Not only do we see the witness of omnipotence, the world of opposition, but the wonder or the miracle of obedience. The Bible says to obey is better than sacrifice. The Bible says he became the author of eternal salvation unto all that obey him. Hebrews 5:9. Peter was a fisherman. Andrew and others were his partners. They fished in the Sea of Galilee. Jesus came by one day, said, Peter, I want to borrow your boat. And he cast out a little place, and just off from the shore as the crowd gathered, he used Peter's boat to preach from as a pulpit. After he finished, he said, Peter, launch out into the deep and let down your net. But Lord, you don't understand. We fished all night and we haven't caught a thing. All night long we've been fishing. That's when you catch the fish. And he argued, but finally he said, Nevertheless, at thy word, I'll do it. That's where the power is. The power is in our obedience to the word. I don't have to tell you how many they caught. I want to tell you, God still gives us the power in this frustrated black world that we're living in to catch fish for Him. He still says, follow me, and I'll make you fishers of men. His mother said on that first miracle, they were at a wedding and they'd run out of wine, and she said to those disciples, they needed wine, and they brought it to the attention of the folks that were there. And the mother of Jesus said unto the disciples, whatsoever He saith unto you, do it. He said, go fill the water pots, 6 water pots. He said, go fill them with water. Lord, you don't understand. They don't want water. They want wine. They wouldn't. Look how foolish it'd be. You know, there's a thin line between foolishness and faith. The power of the cross, the preaching of the cross to them that perish, is what? Foolishness. Just be sure God's in it and obey Him. We know His first miracle was that of transformation. He turned the water into wine. Oh, glory, glory, glory. I just don't feel led to go on with this. I just feel like somebody here this morning needs to give your life to the Lord. I'm going to cut it off right now, lest I get the name of being a long-winded preacher, and I wouldn't want that to happen to me. But I want to tell you something. God's here right now. Thank God His heart is open, His arms are open, and He's saying, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Let us stand just now across this auditorium. As they play a verse softly just before He sings, just before we sing, I'm going to ask every head to be bowed, every eye to be closed. I feel like God is here this morning in a great and wonderful way. His heads are bowed. It'll be a tremendous time, an opportune time to come down one of these aisles. Let somebody pray and counsel with you and get acquainted with this one we call Jesus. In this confused, black, sin-cursed world that we're living in, He can put a peace and a joy and a desire in your heart that will change your life forever.